Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple, Apple Podcasts, on Android. We recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check us out on Off the Floor. I just dropped some draft nuggets that I heard. You're only going to get this stuff there. Go to Off the Floor, $2.99 per month. Check out the 10 channels on there. You get access to everything with that monthly subscription. Also, there are Heat fans communicating with each other all day long. Get off of Twitter. Check out Off the Floor. Link is right here in the description on the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. You know who's a member of Off the Floor? Lynette, huge Miami Heat fan. A Aggressive Insurance. Check her out at insurancebylynette.com. 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800. A Aggressive Insurance Agency, your car insurance, your renter's insurance, your homeowner's insurance. She can handle all of it for you. The insurance agency that works for you. Again, insurancebylynette.com, 954-581-8800. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the role playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, inspire, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow me at Tropical Blanket. We'll have episodes with Brady and Greg coming up this week. Check out the episode that I did with our guy Eternal Bass. We got into why there's so much disrespect of Dwayne Wade around this time of year. It seems to happen every single year. He's thrown into all these ridiculous comparisons. So Eternal and I broke it down a little bit. Is it more about basketball or is it about something else? Today we're going to get back into basketball and we're following all the reports we're going to have. I do want to introduce one thing we're going to be doing. Starting next week, we are going to start revisiting Miami Heat drafts, and we're going to do it on two different, well, actually, if you include YouTube, three different platforms. We're going to be doing some years here on Five on the Floor, and we're going to be doing some years on Playback. So that's playback.tv/5RSN, or just download the Playback app for free, and then sign up for Five Reasons Room. You'll find it on there. So we basically are going to pick 10 different years in which the Miami Heat either took a player of significance or maybe they passed on a player of significance. And we're going to break those down. So some of the years that we will definitely do are 2003, Dwayne Wade, 2008. Alex will be on that one. That will be the Michael Beasley year. And I've got a lot of background on that one. We'll probably do 2015, the Justice Winslow year. We might do 2002, the Caron Butler year. Greg and I, if we're feeling like really old that day, we might do a combined episode of the pre-Riley stuff, Steve Smith, Ronnie Cicely, Glenn Rice. We are certainly going to do the Tyler Hero year, the Bam Adebayo year. And yes, we probably will do, in addition to the Jaime Jaquez year, we probably will do the Precious Achiuwa year because that was also the Tyrese Maxey year. So we'll get into all of this stuff as we go forward. And again, we'll be unveiling all of that starting that week. The week after, we will get into this year's draft more specifically, and we've got our guy Adele, who's been putting up stuff on his YouTube channel, and he's going to be synchronizing his stuff with us so that we have the latest on all the draft prospects that the Heat may be looking at and what direction the draft could go. Today, though, we're going to do more of a veteran topic. Alex, you weren't on this one, I don't think. I think Greg and I did this one about the idea of a third player. And in light of what Tyler Herro makes, Terry Rozier make, whichever one you consider their third player, Tyler's their third highest paid player, kind of what you can pay to a guy like that or what direction you need to go under the current tax rules, second apron rules, and all that. And, you know, it's been said to me that in the modern NBA, if you've got two maxes, your third guy like really can't be much more than a mid-level. The Heat, of course, have two guys who are making a lot more than that. Actually, three if you include Duncan Robinson. But the two are Tyler Herro, who I believe makes $29 million next year, Terry Rozier, who makes $24 million next year. And we've talked about the redundancy of the two of them. And then Duncan Robinson, who's at $18 or $19 million for next year. So they actually have – they have – Duncan Robinson is the Heat's fifth highest paid player – makes more than any Magic player is currently scheduled to make next year. And you and I did that Magic podcast. But Jonathan Isaac, who could be a free agent, because he's a player option, I believe, would make $17 million on an opt-in there. And that just gives you some context for people who say the Heat aren't spending. Salary sheet doesn't really show that. So we're going to get into some players who may be out there for that third spot and like whether or not it would be worth it. Okay, so let's start with this guy because this one is a player who, from a talent perspective, I think the Heat would definitely like to have, which is Lauri Markkanen of Utah. And we were going over this before we came in. Now, Markkanen is a free agent after this upcoming season, correct, Alex?
Mm-hmm.
$18 million, something along those lines?
Yep.
In the modern NBA, what would Lauri Markkanen be worth per year to you?
I think probably if we're being realistic and he keeps playing more or less at the same level for this next season, I think whatever his max is probably not only what he's going to be demanding, but what he's going to be worth. I think, you know, the level that he's been playing at since he got to Utah surprised a lot of people, including myself. I was not like a big marketing guy after his stint in Chicago, you know, was like a nice role player for Cleveland in the 1 year before he was a part of the Mitchell trade. And so, you know, he was starting to look better, but I don't think a lot of us projected him to be, you know, somewhat of an all-star level player, which is what he's been. I think offensively, obviously, that's like where everything comes for him. He's really good. He's really good. And not only that, he's really versatile. You can use him in a lot of different ways on and off ball. And I think Spo could have some fun having an offensive weapon like that who, you know, I think would fit nicely next to Bam, kind of addresses some of your size issues, right? If for people who want them to play double bigs, I think he's the type of big you would want, like a real offensive weapon who can pass, who can play on or off ball, you know, isn't a complete tree on defense. Not that he's a stud, but, you know, is passable. And I know Jovic has gotten a lot of comparisons to him. I think Jovic is more pass first and more of a connective right now, whereas Markkanen is like somebody that you devote immediately a lot of offense to. And it doesn't need to be, you know, him creating from the top of the floor. You can do a lot with him involving, you know, your actions involving him can also involve your best players, which it would be really useful for their offense. Not to mention how much of a sniper he is, like from three and just in general. I think he is somebody who would absolutely get the max, whether from the Heat, from the Jazz, or somebody else.
27 years old, listed at 6'11", right? 6'11", 7 feet. I mean, you talk about a size issue that the Heat have had and functional size, even though he's not an elite rebounder. That would obviously help. Average rebounds last 2 years, by the way, since getting to Utah, 8.6 and 8.2. Efficiency has been outstanding. 25.6 points 2 years ago on 50% shooting, 39% from three, and 88% from the line. This past year, a little bit of a dip. He did have an availability issue. We also know that Utah sometimes has been sitting guys to get higher up in the draft. He averaged 23.2 points, 8.2 rebounds on 48-40-90 splits. I mean, he's close to a 50-40-90 player. He would be the Heat's best offensive player. Am I wrong about that at this stage? I mean, certainly regular season, he would be their best offensive player, right?
My immediate thought, he would be their best offensive player. And then, you know, maybe like in an ideal world, Jimmy is still your number one in the playoffs. But, you know, again, he can be involved, you know, whether on or off ball, so many different ways. So it would be a very different way of addressing your needs, including having extra shot creation. It's just, you know, not in the way that maybe we all, you know, would have wanted or expected. As far as like a shot creating guard who can get to the rim, like that's not his game. But he does it in a lot of different ways that might be an easier fit for your stars, not to mention the size, not to mention the youth. And just another thing to clear up, like, because I say the word like max, I don't know exactly what his max is or what he will be eligible for.
I'll tell you, it would be 4 years at upwards of, according to what I just looked this up, 4 years at upwards of $200 million.
Well, there you go. You'll be paying him to be a big time player. So I hope, you know, people would understand that. And that would not make me shy away from trading for him, you know, like, so like if fans have a preference of like, oh, you know, go after Donovan Mitchell, that's not really the conversation here. It's like, oh, if Mitchell isn't available, marketing is, that's what this is about. I think he is very worthy of being the third guy with this group, even if it's not like everybody's favorite pick. You would have to be using him a lot, and I think they would, and afterwards have to most likely pay him a ton of money, like you're saying. I think it would probably be that 200 mil that he's eligible for.
Well, and again, he's at an age where it makes sense to do that. This is 27, 28 is when you're entering your prime. It does change your model a little bit. I mean, we talk about, well, 20, 29 million for Tyler Hero is too much for a third player. And now we're talking about close to 50 million. There's not a whole lot else you can do beyond that. They would absolutely have to hit on any picks that they keep, because those players would need to fill out the roster from a role perspective. They'd also need to find some minimums that can produce at least the level that Josh Richardson was producing last year, if not better. And they would probably need to find a couple of other developmental guys who pop. Certainly, if you're doing this, you're not keeping Caleb Martin. You're probably not even keeping Haywood Highsmith if the price gets too high. You're going to have to develop another one. You might not have Terry Rozier, Duncan Robinson, or Tyler Hero on the roster. Well, so you're going to have to find some shooting from somewhere else, right?
You would have to figure out first how this trade gets done, right? Because he's making 18 right. mil right now, it's not that much to salary match. So,
You can salary match with Duncan Robinson, basically, exactly, right? But then it's a question of where are you getting your picks, though?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a very idealistic, like, I guess just trade match where you go Duncan and some picks. I don't know if that'll get it done. For Utah, and like you guys have said in the past, they like Tyler. So I think immediately our brains go to, okay, Tyler and whatever else, like, you know, draft capital wise, but he makes a lot more money in this upcoming season. So then if you start throwing other Jazz players, like it gets complicated. Maybe you move Tyler, you know, to get an extra pick or whatever. I don't know. Like maybe that's a scenario that they look through, but yeah, I don't think, you know, the Jazz would like get excited if the Heat just go, okay, Duncan in two first, you know?
Well, the other issue with it is the guy who runs the Jazz probably won't get excited about anything that the Heat are offering because it's Danny Ainge.
That's everything.
Let me look at their cap sheet here as we go forward. You know, they took John Collins into space last year at 26.5 million. How many years did they give him? I'm looking that up right now. Sexton they have at 18. Million last year. I'd like to have him in Miami, but again, I don't think he's just a giveaway player. So 26, there's a player option for John Collins at 26.5 the year after, which my guess is with the way his career has gone, he'd probably opt in. I'm looking at a way to make this deal bigger. You can obviously involve other teams. I mean, they're not going to be moving them Walker Kessler. Just not a hell of a lot on this roster to kind of play with. If you've got Clarkson at 14 million that next year, you know, Ainge has talked about, you know, how it's time now to start to pivot, right? Like to actually start to compete, which it hasn't felt like they've been doing the last 2 years. If you're actually starting to compete, you might keep Mark, and it doesn't seem that they're inclined to do that. And I'm a little dubious on their strategy of trying to compete in the West right now. Like, I don't know how, right? Like if you're in the East, I'd say yes, but like, how are you competing with Denver to a certain degree? Although I'm not all that impressed right now. Dallas, OKC with all of their assets, the Clippers are still a factor in some way.
They have a handful of contenders, and then they have like in total 12 playoff teams, not including the Jazz.
Memphis, which looks like, I mean, they're gonna be good quickly, and then the Spurs like are not that far. That kid may just blow up this summer in a way that if they add two pieces, they're at least at the very least a play-in team.
They have the four and the eight and the
Right. So I don't know. When I look at Ainge's strategy here, I'm kind of like, okay, is this really the time to do this now? And again, that play may play into moving market and not now, and not thinking that he's a $50 million number one player, I guess, on a contender. But then again, then the math becomes, is he a $50 million like third guy who's maybe your best offensive player, but not your best overall player? Would the Heat have the best front court in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, spicy. I guess it would be them or the Bucks if you're still, you know, going with Brooke there just because of Giannis's dominance.
Well, I guess, or the Celtics, right? Porzingis, Tatum, and Brown, if you're saying that you're playing. Right. If you're playing their smaller lineup, right? Like that's what they've gone to, which is not that small, actually. But if you're going to that, I guess, how could you? I don't know how many picks you think this is. I mean, the guy Ainge took like what, 6 picks for Gobert.
Yeah, how did the Heat even get
to a number that makes sense for them?
That's the thing. I mean, that's why I was proposing that. You know, Hero gets moved in a separate deal or part of a 3-team deal, however they work it out, because I don't think the 2 picks that they currently have available would be enough on their own. And then that inevitably gets to, you know, again, I know everybody's going to hate it. I'm not necessarily a fan of trading these guys, but Hakez and Jovic are going to be asked for. It's just there's no doubt about it. If you were Danny Ainge, you would be asking for them too, right? And I don't think, you know, everybody wants to give up Hakez and Jovic plus 2 first rounders plus whatever you got to do salary wise, including maybe trading Tyler, all for marketing. Like, are you that in on him? I don't know. I think that's where
okay, it becomes but really. But Alex, are you okay? More okay with trading Jovic if you're getting marketing? Yes, because if you're getting marketing, like Jovic does not have a path. There's not a path for Jovic to be playing 30 minutes next year if they got marketing.
Unless they just, you know, were willing to use him as like. You know, he's the third, not only he would be the third big in the rotation, which I think is how he would get his minutes, but he would have to be like a 4-5 hybrid and probably just play with whoever's out there, whether it's marketing or Bam. Right. It would have to be that type of thing, unless it's like Spo doesn't want to play them together. Then that really limits, you know, where his minutes could come from. Not to mention marketing and Bam both don't miss a ton of games. And and that would be, you know, that would be pretty helpful for the Heat as well. I mean, actually, now that I'm looking at it, I thought he didn't miss that many games, but he missed.
He missed some last year. But again, I think there is a part of this. If you look at the last 2 seasons, some of this was injury, but it was also the Jazz have kind of been an open. It's kind of been an open secret that they've dropped some games over the course of the last couple of years and sat some guys. I mean, that was one of the great tank jobs I've ever seen 2 years ago, where they were leading a game against the Heat, and then nobody played in the fourth quarter. They've been kind of obvious about it, so I don't think it's just that. Like, I wouldn't worry about him as much from an availability perspective. It does change that, like, the tone of the roster. Like, then maybe you're looking for like guards who can defend, like, which is cheaper to get than guards who can score. Like, if you have marketing, you still have Jimmy producing. You know, if Bam continues to modestly develop offensively, you don't really need. I mean, maybe you need one like volume 6 man type guy, but I don't feel like offense would be as big a problem. Right.
That person. I think they're moving both.
Wow, they might both be moved. I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, are you going to – if you got to pay marketing $50 million, and again, it wouldn't be this year. It'd be after that. But if you had to pay him $50 million as your third guy, are you keeping Terry Rozier at $24 million in the last year of his contract? I'm not talking about this upcoming season. I'm talking about after that. Or are you keeping Tyler at, what, 30? I mean, because I think ultimately if they got Markin and Tyler's gone, I agree with you on that. Like, I feel like that's going to and this gets back to what we talked about with Dame. The Heat's original offer by reports. OK, and again, this is, you know, there was not a lot of communication going on here. But Tyler and 2 firsts, like this would for Dame, like this would be richer than that. Like, it's not going to fly on its own. They would have to find picks for other people. And then you mentioned they might have to throw in Hakez and or Jovic, although I think it's more an or than an end.
It's optimistic.
But it depends. All right, so when we come back, we're going to talk about the situation in Atlanta. So we're kind of looking at these teams as we go forward and seeing there might be a fit. There was a report today about DeAndre Hunter and Clint Capella I want to talk about the Hunter thing, because this would be a little bit of a different approach. You're not necessarily upgrading, but you're kind of salary shifting. So we'll get into that in a second. Before we do, I want to mention a couple great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Our friends over at Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. That's 5RSN. Get $20 to play. What's the difference between this and the other books? There's no VIG, which basically means you're just not giving away money for free. This saves you on your bets. Over the long run, that adds up. Also, you can find the line that you want in their marketplace. It's a social betting marketplace. Check it out at betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN to play right away. Also, check out Prize Picks. Use the code 5 there. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100. This is legal, again, in the state of Florida. And again, you can play it pretty much the way you were before. There's no flex plays, but everything else is virtually the same. So go to prizepicks.com, use the code 5, F-I-V-E, get your initial deposit matched up to $100 and start setting your lineup today. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the way it handled. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer, and also they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
All right, so this report out of Atlanta that the Hawks could be moving, we've talked a lot about Trey and DeJounte Murray, but now we're moving to the front court. The Hawks have been stuck in kind of play-in purgatory. I guess the Heat have too. They got a finals appearance out of it for the past 2 years. And so they need to make changes. And, you know, it looks like ownership there is looking to do it. Clint Capella and DeAndre Hunter came up. Let's start with Hunter. Really talented player, Heroes draft class, kind of a high-end role player who's shown flashes of more, but has had trouble staying healthy. And really was kind of passed in some ways by Jalen Johnson last year for them, particularly late in the season. So it looks like they're willing to move on from him. Now, again, availability issues there was something that the Heat are concerned about. Here's his contract coming up. He signed an extension around the same time Hero did. He makes 21.7 next year, 23.3, 24.9. So essentially, this would be getting a little cheaper at their third spot. But I'll just ask you this, like, is DeAndre Hunter worthy of being a third player on a contending team? I mean, it hasn't happened yet, right? So you're betting on the upside and keeping him healthy, and keeping guys healthy has not been the Heat strength lately.
Yeah, no, I don't think DeAndre Hunter is worth being their third contract. I like him. You know, I liked him coming out of college. I think he's been all right. But that's just it. Like, I think he's been okay. And like you said, he got passed by Jalen Johnson this season, who is, you know, younger, more athletic, and can clearly do more things, was more productive. DeAndre Hunter, and look, some of it is a fault of, I mean, you know, kind of an outcome of offenses that are very heliocentric, revolving around Trae Young and, you know, of course, Murray, where maybe you don't get as many touches. I just don't think he is somebody that deserves, like, you know, third option touches. Now, he wouldn't really be your third option because, you know, you'd still have whichever one you don't trade between Tyler and Terry. So I understand the idea of, like, you know, maybe you exchange one of those guys for somebody who can help solidify your front court, who, you know, has the nice measurables like Hunter does, the wingspan and the height and all that. I just think it's a little bit idealistic. I think you lose a lot in your office, and I don't think he is the guy that people are making him out. Now, I'm not trying to, like, crap on him. I just don't think he is particularly great on either end of the floor to be like, okay, I'm into this. Like, it's just, to me, it's not the right scenario. I understand, like, the fans wanting to shake things up. This just wouldn't be, I'm not too, you know, a big fan of this move. I think Hunter, like, he gives you some stuff in the mid-range. I think as a shooter from three, he's been, you know, good. But I feel like sometimes it's a little bit inconsistent. The numbers don't necessarily reflect that because he, you know, 38% from three this year, 35 last year, 38 the year before. You know, only had one season below 35% from three out of his five. So, like, you give that to him. But, again, I don't know that that's worth doing. And I think you could probably get more out of him defensively, putting him in the front court with Jimmy and Bam. And, of course, you know, what Spo does. I'm not a fan of moving either one of Terry or Tyler for him. And especially because it would be a little bit more complicated than that, right? Because he makes, what is it, 22 mil? Next season.
And I don't know that the Hawks would have interest in either of those guards considering their current guard situation. Like, it already didn't work with them playing Murray with Young. And now, if they end up moving Murray or Young, they're really going to want Rozier or Hero there. It feels, I mean, if they kept Young and they got Hero, that backcourt's going to get destroyed on the defensive end. We talked about it. We talked about Trey coming to Miami. And if they, I don't know, I don't feel like Rozier and Murray's a fit. I don't know. It feels to me like a force. Here's the thing. Like, let's say Caleb Martin's going to get $13 million a year, which we think may be too rich for the Heat's blood right now where they're at. Is DeAndre Hunter $10 million better than Caleb Martin per season? Has he shown that? Like, he's had good games against the Heat. I like him, but yeah, it's just.
And he's a guy who I famously, like, when I think about his good games against the Heat, especially in that first round a couple of years ago, I've made jokes on Playback about it, that it's like when he sees Tyler Hero, his eyes light up and he takes, like, those, you know, kind of elbow mid-range shots. You know, maybe he'll post him up and just kind of shoot over him in the mid-range. And he very clearly, you know, likes that that little mid-range area against smaller guys. And, you know, that would fit right in with the Heat's mid-range shot profile. But I just don't think
the same, like, place.
I don't think he'll be making you better significantly on either end. And it would be an upgrade defensively going for either one of those guards to him. I think, like, he is like a B on both ends of the floor. Yeah. And even that is like, B might be a little generous. Because he's not always like, it's not like night to night he's this awesome, like, high-level role player who's like, you know, like, people talk about that Aaron Gordon. I don't think he's at that level. So I like him. I like his aim. Wouldn't mind him on the Heat in theory. I don't think the scenario really is, like, a great one for either teams when you start going through trade ideas, and not to mention the Hawks having to throw in more contract to match it for, you know, whether it's Terry, it would have to be a couple million. If it's Tyler, it would have to be, like, another $7 million that the Hawks would have to throw in there. I don't think this is the right move for either team. And, like, the marketing thing to me is the opposite of that, which is why it would cost so much more. But, like, just something I didn't mention in the first half, marketing had a 97th percentile offensive estimated plus minus, 96th percentile the year before. So ever since he's been on the Jazz, like, he's been one of the best, you know, most productive offensive players in the league. And, of course, you know, a team that it's all about him. But, again, a guy who would fit in nicely in the Heat would absolutely use a ton in their offense. Whereas, like, with Hunter, it's like, okay, you know, you can maybe get more out of him than the Hawks got, and that's kind of the sell. But it's you're taking a risk by moving one of your guys who, like, you know what they can do, what they can't do, in Terry and Tyler, and, you know, a team missing that needs that much offense, you know, downgrading there for a guy like Hunter. And I don't even know how much of, like, the defensive upgrade would be worth it. So I think it's two completely different conversations. But, you know, Hunter, I don't think he's, you know, he's worth the move here.
All right, so real quick here, the other guy, Clint Capela, which is kind of amusing because Bam was compared to Clint Capela by a lot of people coming out of college, and the Heat actually looked seriously at Clint Capela that year that, what was it, that they ended up taking, I think, what was it, the one that LeBron Napier wanted to take. Right. That otherwise Capela probably would have been the pick, if not. And he's had a good career, and he's had some big rebounding games against the Heat. He's actually coming up into the last year of his contract at $22 million. He would be a backup on the Heat. They're not going to play Bam with Capela. I don't believe in paying $22 million for backup centers, even if they're a high-level backup center. But it is the last year of his contract. Is there any value there? I mean, this would be the kind, this would be like a reset move, right? Like it's just cleaning out some cap after this year. And then again, he's also, he could be moved again, I guess, before the deadline, if you wanted to do that, you know, once that, the moratorium and that it ends, is there any appeal to going after a $22 million backup center on an expiring?
Well, and I forgot to mention him before, even though we mentioned him regarding marketing and that deal, another scenario as far as like a guy who could be thrown in there, maybe they don't trade either Tyler or Terry, and it's Duncan with his $19 million or so that he's making next season. You would still have to throw in more money, whether it is Capela or Hunter. As far as like really quick, because I didn't mention that before, I would maybe be more open to moving Duncan. Mm-hmm. But even then, that neither of those scenarios really excite me. And I know that's not really the point of it, but it's not just about exciting. It's like moving Duncan or another one of your offensive guys who we already mentioned in Hero and Rozier, like, would that be the move for a backup five? Would that be a move for like this okay, somewhat starter level four and Hunter? I don't know. That's why, I think maybe that's like some, maybe you just got to, you know, swallow your pride and consider like do a move like that if you think it'll really help your roster and balance it out. I'm not really sold on either one. How do you feel about like maybe, you know, Duncan for Capela or Duncan for Hunter?
Yeah, that's one we mentioned before. That's about the Hunter thing's a little different than Capela because you're taking on additional years there. So I don't know that that's the direction that the Heat would want to go. And then again, Hunter's been a good shooter, but Duncan's obviously a better shooter. I don't know that the offense for defense switch makes sense. With Capela, it's a little different because you're getting off the contract. So I could see it as potentially a shuffling move. You know, I think Heat fans have to be prepared for the possibility that both Tyler and Duncan are moved, and then they're going to have to find shooting somewhere else. And I'm dubious on the idea of like Cole Swider stepping into the rotation next year. He doesn't look like a rotation player to me. Now, I've been wrong about some of their developmental guys in the past. I didn't think Haywood Highsmith would be this. We said he had a very sort of low ceiling, but a pretty high floor. And I think he's exceeded the ceiling that we've talked about. That's kind of where we're at. So my thought on it is that, first thing, marketing to me is worth a serious look unless Danny Ainge is just insane in his demands. Hunter, I really would not be serious about. Capela is just about if it's a shape-shifting move to get some contracts off the books next year and go a different direction with kind of more of a Bam focus. I think that's kind of where we're at with it. So we'll see. We'll get into more of these players as they become available. Check out, again, the other podcasts that are on the feed. Subscribe to Off the Floor. Check out Playback. Also, if you're a Dolphin fan, we've got our guys going on Playback as well. Thanks to our sponsors, A Aggressive Insurance, Better Edge, use the code 5RSN. Prize Picks, use the code 5. Have a good one, everybody.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.